And everyone, we're in Acts chapter 2, first four verses this morning. I suppose everybody has a GPS story, and this is one particular fellow's, Alan Willett from New York. He says, where we wanted to go, the car rental return. Where we ended up, a cemetery. My daughter and I were visiting a college in Bangor, Maine. After a nice trip, we had our GPS take us back to the car rental agency, except it just didn't seem like it was taking us the right way. We were in the middle of nowhere, pulled up to a graveyard, and the GPS said, you have arrived at your destination. We did end up having a pleasant walk around a beautiful cemetery, however. I wonder if the GPS shouldn't have said, you've arrived at your final destination. That's kind of creepy, right? You make all these good plans. You program your device. You know where you're going to go. You know where you want to go. And you end up in a completely different place than you had anticipated. I wonder if the disciples didn't feel a little bit like that when Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift my Father promised. What was going on in their head, what they anticipated was going to happen, and what actually happened must have been miles apart. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow, Father, wow, what a Sunday morning service. How different. How unusual. You are amazing in your creativity, in your plans, in the outliving of all that you have. Sometimes, Lord, we get all caught up in winning the lost, witnessing to those who are out there. And we should. That should be a focus of ours. But you have surprises for your own. You have a way of showing up in unusual ways to refresh and recapture our attention, our spiritual sensitivity. And I pray, God, that as we said in your word today, you will reignite some things. You will stir up our curiosity, our anticipation for things that you would do even yet. Some new tricks that you would teach us old dogs. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's walk in the disciples' shoes for a moment, shall we? Jesus says, go to Jerusalem and you wait there until you receive this gift. What are you thinking about? What are you anticipating it's going to be like? We know that Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift my Father promised. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, let's see. We've been baptized in water. What would it be like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? When that happens, you will be my witnesses throughout the entire world. Wow, there's something about this. And Jesus mentioned power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Power. Using the Old Testament as your guide, if that's the only scripture that's available to you at the time, what comes to your mind when you think of power? God coming in power upon you. I don't know how your mind works, but the first character I think about when I think about power is Samson. He had power. He didn't mess around. God gave him strength to tear a lion apart with his bare hands. He was able to take up bars and gates right up out of the cement, the whole city gate up onto his shoulders and walk it up to a hill and leave it there. He killed 2,000 enemy soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. Interesting. Ukraine is asking for weapons right now. I don't think anybody thought to send any jawbones of a donkey. That just, but that's what he, power came on Samson, you will receive power. Am I gonna be strong? The Spirit came on Elijah and he outran a chariot in a 16-mile journey. Old man outruns chariot, anointed by the Spirit of God. He also had the power to call for and end a 3-year drought. God anointed the man. The Holy Spirit was in him. He was able to do incredible things. That same prophet was able to take his cloak, strike the Jordan River. It parted in two so he could walk across on dry ground. His successor, Elisha, told Naaman, go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed of your leprosy. It happened just as he said. When the Spirit came on King Saul, he was filled with courage and he led Israel in an attack against the Ammonites who had besieged Jabesh Gilead. And then other times when the Spirit came on Saul, even though he at times was not in sync with God, he would fall down and prophesy. He would be out of his regular control of his senses. In fact, he went to kill David one time, and the Spirit came on him. He tore his clothes, and he fell down prophesying. The Spirit of God, which I kind of see as an Old Testament precursor to the baptism in the Holy Spirit coming into the New Testament. What do we expect will happen if we're the disciples? We're on our way to Jerusalem. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what's it going to be like? Am I going to be strong? Am I going to be able to lay hands on people? They'll be healed. We'll be able to outrun a chariot. How will it manifest itself at that time and moving forward? More like Jesus? Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He only did those things that the Father told him to do. Will I be wiser, holier, more able to cope with problems and deal with issues than I am right now? Jesus had said all these things would be part of it. And if all that's true, I want it. I want more of Jesus. We sing a little chorus. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. We were talking a little bit in the prayer room before. What it would have been like to pastor a church in the first century before there were Bibles. How in the world did they take over the world without a Bible in their hand, without word that they could quote chapter and verse? Do you know how it was done? Through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They had Old Testament scripture, yes. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit were very active in the congregations as well. And we have this propensity as the people of God to move away from the spiritual and back into the ritual, back into the legal, back into the rules and the laws. And we ever need the power of God. Stuff happens to you all the time. Every week there's some other challenge that comes up. Something you didn't anticipate, you haven't faced before. Who are you going to call? You need the power of God in your life. We need the power of God in our church. We feel his presence as we worship together. We feel him knocking on our heart when the word is preached. We receive things. Things change. But friends, we dare not back off from the anointing of God and what only the anointing of God can do in us as individuals and in us as a church. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. We know it was for more than just the 12 because 120 showed up. 10 times as many showed up as they had disciples. In fact, they were down to 11 until they voted on the 12th one in these meetings. But we know that a lot more people followed Jesus than just 120. Why did only 120 show up? Or maybe there were only 120 left by day 10 when the Holy Spirit showed up. Well, I'd be there, but, and I got to take care of this, and business creeps in and so on. The 120 went to Jerusalem. They waited. They met. They prayed. A lot of other people were in Jerusalem. They were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And that Feast of Tabernacles, commemorated two things: the harvest and the giving of the law. The high priest would wave some sheaves of grain before the Lord, recognizing, God, this came from you. We're an agricultural society. The whole basis of our existence is dependent on good crops. We eat well or we're starving, depending on how the harvest is. And we want to recognize, it's not that I hoed a straight row. It's not that I got really good about timing the weather or anything else. It's the blessing of God that has given us this harvest. And they recognized it was linked to the law. God had told them, if you obey me, I will give you rains in season. The blight won't come. The bugs and the animals won't do harm to your flocks and to your crops. They were linked together. If you obey me, I will bless you. If you obey me, I will bless you. And that's to be ingrained in every believer. Obey God, enjoy abundance. Not that it's always happy, happy, joy, joy, 24/7, those kinds of things. But obey God, enjoy abundance. So they lifted up the sheaves and they appreciated that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And they thank you, Lord, for showing me how I can please you, showing me how to follow you, because the blessing follows obedience. So they're in Jerusalem. They're celebrating this great feast of tabernacles, this day of Pentecost. And the believers who had gathered in Jesus' name have secured an upper room in the temple. They're there for prayer. How prophetic is that? They're in an upper room of the temple and they're seeking God. On the day of Pentecost, on the day the high priest is waving the produce before God, giving thanks to God, the 120 are gathered together in the temple for prayer. There's a sweet unity, a sense of oneness, peace, joy. They'd been there for 10 days. 10 consecutive days meeting together, having prayer. God's timetable is not like ours. We would be thinking, let's get on with it, God. What else do we have to do? You said go, we came. You said, wait, it's been 10 days. We've been seeking you, Lord. It's all been good. We've had an election. We've done everything that we can. What's happening? Basting. Soaking. We're ready to go. God is preparing us. Why not yet, Lord? You're not ready. And everything that he's doing is preparation for that. But Lord, you're sovereign. You can, yes, he can. And this was his choice. To stay in an atmosphere of prayer, to stay in an atmosphere of worship, to let that define who they were. I wonder how many of them had just concluded in their mind or heart, if I'm here for the rest of my life, I'm here for the rest of my life. God said to go and wait. Now me, somewhere around Thursday, I would have been thinking, maybe I already got it. Before that, I would be asking, how are we going to know we've gotten whatever it is we're supposed to get? He said, go and wait and you'll receive the gift. not really sure what the gift is and whether we've gotten it. And maybe we already have it. Maybe this sweet atmosphere here is what it's all about. Maybe we're getting along better than we did before, and this is what's supposed to happen. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a bit ambiguous until it is abundantly clear. And that's how it was for them. They're really not sure what's going to happen, but boy, when it happened, there was no doubt after that. Well, hey, Peter had a really good prayer there a minute ago. Maybe that was it. No. Suddenly, there was a sound of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. If they had had their eyes closed in prayer, they were suddenly open, like, what is that? Flames of fire appeared above one another's heads. Dude, your hair's on fire. Dude, I'm bald. Oh, wow. That's amazing. This is significant because when the temple was built and they offered their first sacrifice, do you remember where the fire came from? It fell from heaven and it consumed the first sacrifice. Here they are in an upper room of the temple. They are the sacrifice. They have been worshiping. They have been praying. And God has now added the fire to the sacrifice that was there. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Two signs were prior, the sound and the sight, the wind and the flame. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. It wasn't gibberish. A lot of people think, well, you know, this is a psychological thing. People hear other people speaking in other tongues, and so they pick it up and they go from there. I'll challenge you. Try speaking gibberish for a while. Pretend to speak Spanish when you don't know Spanish, and see how far you can get. Some of you are old as I am. How many remember Tarzan, Black and White? And as he'd be talking to the natives, and the natives would be... And as a kid, I always tried to talk native, but I couldn't think of gibberish word. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like a dam breaks, and there's a river that flows, and you're tapped into something that's beyond yourself. And words are coming that usually you think of what you're going to say before you say it, and there's no, the mind is bypassed, the Spirit is there, and you're just able to speak. Often when we're talking to somebody who is seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we'll let them know. Look, these strange words will come into your mind. Just speak them out. And often people will resist and they'll say, well, I did hear strange words in my mind, but I didn't speak them out because they're strange words. Duh. Do you normally think in strange words? No. They're there because the Lord wants to do something fresh and new in your life. And just out of obedience, they spoke as the Spirit enabled them. And if your experience is like mine was when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it just kept flowing and flowing and flowing. I had control whether to stop or to keep going. In fact, I was there for 2 hours. It felt like 5 minutes to me. When I closed my eyes, when we began to pray, when the Holy Spirit fell, the church was pretty full of people. There were a lot of people at the altar. When I opened my eyes, I was the only one there with my family. There was another girl, strangely enough, laying down in an aisle. We both stopped speaking in other tongues at the very same time. We were both under the influence of the Holy Spirit for the same length of time. Opened my eyes. The pastor was standing there. He had his overcoat on, his hat on, his galoshes, and his whole family was dressed ready to go home, just staring at this kid. When's he going to stop so I can go home? It was not a tremendous spiritual experience for him, but it just felt so good. It was like on one of those mornings where it's cold and the covers are up and it feels so, and you just don't want to get out of bed. That's what it felt like. I don't want to quit now. And then finally said, well, maybe I better. And it was a wonderful experience. And it is a cooperative experience between a person and the Lord. He will fill you if you want to be filled. When he does, you need to speak out those words, and you will experience a wonderful anointing. Baptized. Now, the Holy Spirit is in every believer. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. But it's sort of like the difference between drinking water and jumping in a swimming pool. How many understand the difference? You don't jump in a glass of water, do you? Go. It's in you. But it's a different experience of being baptized. You will be baptized. That's the language that Jesus used. When the Holy Spirit enables you to speak another language, there's a flow to it. There's a rhythm to it. It's wonderful. After you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have the ability to speak in other tongues again. And often where it happens to me is I'm praying and I run out of words and I just go off into another language. Or I'm worshiping the Lord and I run out of words to describe my love and appreciation for the Lord and I just go off in other tongues. It's a very handy gift to have. And it's a wonderful experience for a believer to walk into. What happened in that room on the day of Pentecost got the whole city's attention. They heard the sound of the mighty rushing wind. They wondered, what in the world was that? And so a crowd gathered outside the temple. They said, it's coming from the temple. And then the apostles came out onto the porch where they could be seen, and they're still speaking in other tongues. People were in the crowd from all over the world. It was a feast. They came to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And they heard people speaking in other languages, and many in the crowd recognized the languages that were being used. The apostles didn't know what they were saying. The people in the audience understood what they were saying. Not everybody understood because not everybody spoke all those languages. A lot of them said, they're drunk. How does drunk explain the mighty rushing wind? Well, I don't know, man, that Peter has a mighty big belt sometimes. No. They heard them glorifying and praising God. And Peter was able to address the crowd. So that by the end of the day, 3,000 of those gathered to find out what was going on gave their lives to Jesus, were baptized in water, and joined the church. That's a pretty good Sunday. Church attendance just increased by 3,000 today at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Here's a hallmark of the Spirit's presence. How do we know when the Spirit is having His way? Something always happens when the Spirit shows up. Somebody has coined the phrase, He shows up and He shows off. There's always something happening when the Holy Spirit is present. It's much more than about emotion. It's much more than about feelings. Goosebumps, whatever. I always call the Holy Spirit the hyperactive member of the Godhead. I say that very respectfully. Where's the first time we meet the Spirit in Scripture? It's Genesis chapter 1. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. Things were about to happen because the Holy Spirit was there. He was active in creation, and He's active in recreating who you are and what you're about. When the Holy Spirit is on you, He's working. He's incubating. He is changing the substance inside. He's reorganizing your life. The Spirit doesn't show up that something good doesn't happen. Samson, great strength. Elijah outran a chariot. Elisha, able to heal and deliver people. Saul, filled with courage and able to conquer foreign armies. The sound of the wind was awesome. The fire was cool. The tongues were quite extraordinary. But 3,000 souls added to the kingdom, dude, that's kingdom work. You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you. All that other stuff, closer walk with the Lord, holier, more in tune with the Spirit, sensitive, understanding, wisdom, all that comes along with it too, yes. But the stated purpose is to be His witnesses. As we wait in the presence of the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way, real kingdom work is being done. Our lives are being transformed. That's why we spend so much time in worship. It's time for the Holy Spirit to work. Now, you can let your mind wander. You can be working on your grocery list and what you're going to do this week and all that. Better it is to tap into the source that is God and allow Him to reorder what's going on in your life. Be recharged. Be plugged in to the Lord. And if there's one error that we're falling into more and more, it's that we're not spending enough time soaking in His presence. Not many people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit in our services. Not many people are experiencing these things. Why? We're not spending time in His presence. Not that we have spent 10 days together, but there does have to be an understanding. Lord, I want that. I'm going after it. I'm going to seek You for it, however long it takes. Lord, this is a hunger within me. I want to experience what You have for me. And so I'm coming after it, Lord. We have many testimonies of people. Everybody seems to receive the Holy Spirit differently. I had one friend who had been seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking the Lord for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's driving on his way to work one day, and he just felt the Holy Spirit come on him so strong, he had to pull the car off the side of the road, and right there, the Lord baptized him in the Holy Spirit. He's speaking in other tongues and worshiping God, tears flowing down. I had a kid in my youth group when I was in Monroeville, and he had been seeking the Holy. He woke up speaking in other tongues. He was baptized while he was sleeping. I kind of felt like, well, you're probably resisting the Lord too much while you're awake. The Lord just kind of figured, I'll get you while you're sleeping. And we just had one of our young ladies at Winter Retreat. I said she felt the words and everything else, but didn't speak. While she was in the shower, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues. I wish I could tell you how God's going to do it for you or when or what have you, but seeking the experience is every bit as valuable, if not more valuable, than the experience itself, because it trains us, it teaches us how to seek the Lord and how to go after God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't a little pin that we wear. Okay, poof, I'm glad that's done. I'm past that. No, it's a doorway. It's an opening to greater things in our spiritual life. And we need to be open. There's a lot of bad teaching that goes around. But no time soaking in God is wasted. I heard one youth pastor talk to his youth group and tell them, we're just going to soak in God's presence. If you feel like the Lord is working in your life in that way, you go with it. But if not, don't worry about it at all. Anytime we get a little bit more of the Holy Spirit, that's good. A little bit more of God, that's good. We need more and more and more of Him. And we should enter church. We should enter worship with that in mind. Lord, I need more of Your presence today. I need more of Your Spirit today. I don't know how You're going to do, what You're going to do today. Some days the Lord is quite demonstrative. And some days it's very quiet and reassuring and encouraging. But Lord, whatever You have for me today, that's what I want. The demonstration of the Holy Spirit isn't always an emotional outbreak, though it often involves emotions. Emotion without lasting substance is useless. I grew up in a Pentecostal church that was very expressive. But I got confused as a young man because many of the people I saw that were most expressive in a service were least holy outside a church. The language they used, the things they did, cheating on their spouse, those kinds of things, that's not God. So you can get all excited and be all emotional and it actually be counterproductive. In fact, I know some people who they took that as their reassurance from God. I can still speak in tongues, therefore I must be right with God. No, not necessarily. God appreciates obedience to His word. Come, Holy Spirit, we need You. Can't do this without You. Don't want to try. If there have been times when we faked it, fudged it, when we should have been waiting, forgive us. But Lord, more of You. We have all of what we need, but more of You. Would you stand with me this morning? Spirit, touch Your church.